is United States against Johnson. Mr. Bernstein.
May it please the court. The primary issue in this appeal before us today is whether the felony domestic burglary statute of Indiana is a qualifying offense for ACCA purposes as a violent felony and assessing only the otherwise clause.
Mr. Bernstein, could you raise your voice a little? It's a very large room, and the microphone is a recording device rather than an amplifying device.
Judge, I will. Thank you. The primary analysis is through the otherwise clause of ACCA. In my review of many of these of this court's decisions, both affirming and reversing on this issue, along with the primary eight or so U.S. Supreme Court cases, it seems that the challenge is to discern the degree of risk of the underlying felony charge as to whether it is clear or unclear, along with how it stacks up as to the kind of offense that is enumerated in the ACCA clause. Taking first, and particularly in light of last night's filing of the Williams case by the government, I would like to point this out. As you know from looking at the statute, essentially what we have is a similar statute to the misdemeanor offense, but for the bodily injury provision. And Indiana does, in fact, differentiate between the bodily injury as well as a serious bodily injury range. In the C felony battery case, which you had in Taylor, in which you affirmed, that dealt with serious bodily injury. And Indiana defines that as basically a disfiguring injury. The definition is a little more nuanced than that, but that's essentially the serious bodily injury, which would be at one end of the spectrum. And in fact, for serious violent felonies, Indiana has a separate statute where it lists 27 serious specific offenses, serious violent felony offenses, but this domestic battery statute is not one of those. Though the resisting law enforcement felony level, which was in Sykes, is one of those.
Yet these distinctions might make a difference if we were proceeding under the first clause of the ACCA, which requires force, the use of force, but we're proceeding, as I understand it, in this case under the residual clause, which requires conduct which creates a serious potential risk of physical injury, and that in fact is required of every domestic violence battery, whether it's the enhanced version or not.
And that is Judge Lawrence's ruling, is it not? But as I
well, that's true as a statutory matter. I don't think there's any dispute about that.
Well, I think
it's an element of the offense,
Your Honor. If I might submit, I think we have a number of limiting factors here that are at stake. For instance, if a couple were engaged in a verbal argument, show up at a restaurant, and one of the members of the domestic party grabs the other in a manner in which there is a painful pinch. If there is a child present, and in Indiana's case, any child, a child is present, and a police officer is present, there could be an arrest for a domestic battery for a minor pinch. Now, the injury range goes further, and that's why I referenced the serious bodily injury provision of the battery statutes, because
right.
You have that range.
All the residual clause requires is a risk of physical injury, and here the statute requires actual bodily injury before the offense can be charged. So why isn't actual bodily injury encompassed within an understanding of conduct that creates a risk thereof?
Well, I think then you have to compare that to the kinds of statutes. for instance, Indiana's burglary statute has a maximum sentence of 20 years. Indiana's arson of a residence statute has a maximum sentence of 20 years.
Right, that kind of comparison would be necessary if we were dealing with a risk analysis. But here, we're really not, because the statute, before it can be violated, requires not just conduct that presents a risk of injury, but conduct that actually has produced bodily injury. Aside from the doing it in front of a child part of it, that's just what makes it a felony. But well, the operative conduct in the domestic battery statute is an injury. It's an injury statute. Let's put it that way. I agree.
But for instance, in the Miller case that you have here, which is the sawed-off shotgun case that was recently decided.
Right, that's not an injury statute. That's a status offense for possession of a certain type of weapon. What we're dealing with here is an injury crime, a physical injury crime.
But the principle presented by the court, the major issue that the court presented, at least in the opinion, at the beginning of the opinion, was that they were interested in the serious potential risk of physical injury.
Right, only if the statute at issue isn't an injury statute. This is a crime that punishes causing injury to somebody else.
I understand, but if it were any injury, if we're speaking of any injury and that were the standard that we're dealing with.
The residual clause doesn't require serious injury or elevated injury or aggravated injury. It just requires risk of injury.
But if that risk of injury is unclear, Begay says...
It's not, because it's a statutory requirement here. There's no lack of clarity.
I see it as a range. I guess we have a respectful difference as to how that statute is seen. And I respect yours. My reading of all of the cases and where this case fits, it seems an anomaly because the enhancing factor in this case was not a violent act. The enhancing factor is the presence of any child. The identical behavior I was referencing before, Judge, if it were in Illinois, it would not have been a felony arrest. But it is in Indiana for the identical thing.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, there's a huge range in these cases around the country from state to state. That's a point well taken, but I'm not sure that gets us very far.
I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for argument.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Bernstein. Ms. Minder.
Good morning. May it please the court. There were three issues focused on appeal, but the government is going to rely on its brief on the remaining two issues other than the ACCA issue, unless this court has any additional questions. The government's position that Indiana's domestic battery statute qualifies as a violent felony under the residual clause of ACCA. It otherwise involves conduct that presents...
ACCA?
When did that get into the dictionary? It really helps if you use English words rather than weird initialisms.
Sure, Your Honor.
It's not even a pronounceable word in English.
Okay, sure, Your Honor. It's the government's position that Indiana's domestic battery statute qualifies under the Armed Career Criminal Act because it otherwise involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. And using a common sense approach under the Supreme Court's decision in Sykes, there are four reasons why the government believes so. One, the domestic battery statute requires a domestic relationship. It's one of the elements of the statute. And in this domestic relationship, as cited in the government's 28J motion, the domestic relationship presents a higher risk than an ordinary battery situation.
Does that make any difference at all here since physical injury is an element of the statute?
I believe that physical injury is one factor to be considered in the whole risk assessment, but there has been some discussion that physical injury is not in and of itself enough. You have to look at the statute as a whole. And
in residual clause jurisprudence?
I agree that
the statute says it punishes physical injury.
Yes, Your Honor.
That goes beyond mere risk. We're in actual injury here, so what more is needed? Why do we need to engage in an analysis of whether domestic violent situations are riskier than others.
We don't, and the government agrees that because this is an injury statute, we would that would qualify it under the residual clause. And the other factors that the government was focusing on are more just additional reasons as to why there is this substantial risk and why the injury that results from it is a result of the way this statute is written, such as having the domestic relationship there, that this statute takes place within a cycle of violence, that the fact that a child is present.
The statute doesn't require a cycle of violence.
The statute does require, though, a balancing of risks, at least under Sykes.
The residual clause defies easy construction. It refers to conduct that creates a serious potential risk of physical injury. When you have a statute, a crime that punishes actual injury, that definitionally has to fall under the risk umbrella. If it doesn't, it's incoherent. I mean, the whole area may be incoherent, but you know, to argue that you need all of this additional bolstering evidence that domestic violence is that much more risky than others when the statute itself requires a physical injury before the crime can be prosecuted or before the crime is committed, then I don't know what more you need.
Yes, Your Honor, and the government agrees. I guess the only other reason why we would be producing that other additional evidence is
to comply with all that confusing Supreme Court case law. I get it.
Exactly.
Okay.
At this point, since the government does not dispute that the statute does involve physical risk, unless the court has any additional questions, I'd like to finish our argument. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Mindrum. Anything further, Mr. Bernstein?
To the court's concern and conclusion that actual risk is enough, and also to the district judge's conclusion of that.
Correction, actual injury.
Yes, injury, okay. Or actual injury, excuse me. Looking at the residual clause, it does use the word serious potential risk. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that domestic...
What it says is serious potential risk. It does not say risk of serious physical injury.
And I understand the difference, and I agree completely.
It has to be a non-trivial risk. But in order to violate the domestic battery statute, there has to be an actual risk.
And I completely agree.
There has to be an actual injury. When an actual injury occurs, one has to conclude that there was a, quote, serious potential risk. How do you avoid that?
Well, I guess maybe I'm seeing it through rose-colored glasses, but the way I think that it's avoidable is when you look at the range within that statute itself and the limitations to that statute based on the other battery statutes in Indiana. Just immediately beyond the D felony, you have the C range. And prior to that, you have the A misdemeanor range. So obviously, this fits in between. And while it may have serious potential risk of injury qualities to it, that's not the entire range. I would submit that a pinch in public, that's rude, does not present a serious potential risk of physical injury to another.
Is that an actual injury?
It won't violate the domestic battery statute because there'll be no injury. Pinches don't produce injury.
Well, if the pinch hurts, that's all it takes. The statute is a rude, insolent touching of another, resulting in bodily injury.
How is bodily injury defined?
Bodily injury is defined as any impairment of physical condition, including physical pain. I mean, I know we agree on those basic points, but to me, if you're within that range, it's a narrow limiting range, and therefore its place within the other delineated offenses.
Thank you, counsel. I didn't mean to cut off Judge Mannion, though.
If there's... Sorry, it's the same question.
Really. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel, and we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case. Our final...